I don't know, what would be embarrassing for Brendan?
Well, I think Brendan was trying to talk up his players, Frank, because let's face it, when you lose 7-0 to any side, it is embarrassing, particularly when you're at Celtic's level. I would say this, though, that when you're playing Barcelona, anything is likely to happen with the scoreline. They could beat Real Madrid 7-0 when they're on their game. They're that good. But I know Brendan will be disappointed with some of the goals that his team gave away last night, because they could have been prevented. And, of course, at 1-0, they missed a penalty through Moussa Dembele, who had been the hero against Rangers a few days before. I'm not saying that would have changed the scoreline, but it certainly would have changed the outlook of the match and given Barcelona something to think about. But ultimately, Barcelona just totally and utterly outclassed Celtic last night. And it wasn't unexpected, Frank. We knew that Barcelona were a far superior team to Celtic going into this match. I just didn't think maybe it would end up 7-0. I thought maybe 3 or 4. But Barcelona, when they're on it, Frank, they are unstoppable. In Messi, Neymar and Suarez, they have got the perfect striking triangle. And they were just brilliant to watch last night. But that doesn't take away from the fact that you shouldn't lose 7-0. It's as simple as that.
Surely he should have gone into the game being incredibly defensive, trying not to concede. And yet and all, from the get-go, from the ball first went down the field, it was in the back of the net.
Well, some of the players just, they were like rabbits caught in headlights. I think they were looking at the floodlights at the Nou Camp rather than Messi, Neymar and Suarez at times. I've been to the Nou Camp, Frank, and I'm sure some of your listeners have been to that ground as well, and it can be an intimidating arena. And when you just walk into it, it's an iconic sporting building. And right from the off, I just thought Celtic were behind Barcelona in terms of intensity, in terms of vision as well. Because I was wondering where some of the defenders were looking, actually, whenever Messi scored that first goal, because he was given the freedom of Barcelona. And when you give a guy like that space, you're obviously going to be in trouble. The fact is that Celtic knew going to Barcelona it was going to be probably the toughest match of their Champions League campaign. But Brendan will have flown home thinking he will know a lot more about some of his players and some of the standards they can reach. And unfortunately, some of them were found wanting last night.
They're going to have to play Manchester City as well in that section. Do you think they'll give City a game? Could it be much closer with City, or should City be whipping them too?
I think at Celtic Park, they'll be able to give anyone a game, Frank, even Barcelona. You know, I still expect Barcelona to beat them at Celtic Park this time around, unlike whenever Neil Lennon was in charge, because Neil Lennon had a better team. It's as simple as that. You know, if you look at this Celtic side now that Brendan Rodgers has at his disposal, they're not in the same league as previous Celtic sides under Martin O'Neill or Neil Lennon. Like, Martin O'Neill had brilliant players like Henrik Larsson, one of the greatest strikers ever to play in British football. Brendan Rodgers doesn't have that. He doesn't have that sort of quality. Against Manchester City, it's going to be really, really tough for them. I think the best that Celtic can hope for is finishing third place in the group and maybe doing something against Borussia Mönchengladbach, but even that's going to be difficult. But ultimately, let's face facts here, Frank. For the last 2 seasons, Celtic haven't got into the Champions League group stages. Brendan Rodgers has taken them there this time. And, you know, what that is going to do is it's going to give them millions and millions of pounds. And Celtic fans will hope that that money is invested for future campaigns. And maybe next season, Celtic will have quality players that can give Barcelona, Manchester City and the like a better game of football. I just hope, for Celtic fans' sake, that the money is invested wisely. And because if it's not, Brendan Rodgers will start thinking, well, how far can I go with this football club? And he will get offers from elsewhere, of that there is no doubt. So it's going to be a really interesting period. This, like, Celtic are completely dominant in Scotland, Frank. There's no question about that. They're going to walk away with that league title.
Yeah, but that's the point that I'm sort of making. Celtic are the best by far in Scotland, yet and all they look like the whipping boys of Europe. Is Scottish football worthy of a place in the Champions League?
Oh, I believe it is, you know, and I'm totally for getting all of the nations involved in Champions League football. I'll tell you why. Because UEFA, the way they are running things now, they just want the big hitters. They would if UEFA had their way, and they probably will get this in years to come, they would take six Spanish teams, six English teams, six German teams, and six Italian teams, and forget about everyone else. That can't be allowed to happen. And Celtic, to me, and Rangers, if they ever get back to that, and I'm sure they will at some stage, two of the biggest clubs in the world, Frank. You know, no one can argue with that statement. They've got incredible fan bases all around the globe, and Celtic are worthy to be in the Champions League, in my opinion, no doubt about it. They're Scottish champions. It's got to count for something. Otherwise, what are you playing for in the Scottish League? Do you know what I mean? So, yes, they should be in the Champions League. What they need now is to have better players, and as I said before, more investment in the team. And if that happens, I'm sure they can get better results. But let's not kid ourselves here about Barcelona. To me, this Barcelona team is as good as any Barcelona team there's ever been. And I include the brilliant team that won the treble on that. Because you look at Messi, you look at Suarez, you look at Neymar. Like, they're three of the best players I've ever seen, Frank. And they're playing in one team. You've got Iniesta behind them, who's just a genius midfielder. You know, so Barcelona, when they're on it, they're just unstoppable. And the Celtics' problem was that they weren't really on it themselves. So it was obviously going to be a cricket score.
Yeah, it was embarrassing in the end, whether Brenton admits it or not, because the defence just looked like as if they... You described it very well. They looked as if they were stunned. Stephen, I noticed in your article in the paper, Northern Ireland, have we won something in terms of long ball passing or something?
Yes, well, Frank, there's been a UEFA technical report into Euro 2016, and this technical report basically is observations by football people of all the teams. Those people included the great Sir Alex Ferguson, David Moyes, he's now at Sunderland, Paddy Bonner, the ex-Republic goalkeeper, Alan Jarès, a great French midfielder, and a whole host of other football gurus, if you like. They were all watching the Euro 2016 matches, and they were keeping an eye on Northern Ireland as well. And they've come up with some stats, they've come up with some thoughts on how Northern Ireland did. And yes, out of all the 24 teams, Northern Ireland had the highest percentage of long passes at Euro 2016, 28%. Other little points to note. Northern Ireland were second bottom of the 24 competing nations in terms of possession on 37%. Only Iceland were lower. And Northern Ireland were eighth in terms of average distance covered per game. But I suppose the thing that Michael O'Neill will take away from of this these reports is the fact that UEFA said that Northern Ireland had a strong team ethic, commitment to the cause, discipline and mental strength. And I think that's a fair comment. What I found really bizarre, though, Frank, was what they said about England, because we all know that England, for them, had a hugely disappointing tournament and were knocked out in embarrassing circumstances. Listen, if you thought Barcelona beating Celtic 7-0 was considered embarrassing, England losing to Iceland was the most humiliating result for years for them. But UEFA say this about them: they were youthful, committed, energetic, with technique in all departments. As far as I'm concerned, they certainly didn't show that against Iceland, Frank.
They're going to win the next World Cup, as they always say themselves. Tell me this Slovenian, Aleksandra Čeferin, he's the new president of UEFA. He's going to complete the remaining 2.5 years of Platini's reign. What will he have to face?
Well, he's got a lot of issues to face, but what a great job it is for him. You know, this guy's kind of came from nowhere, Frank, and all of a sudden he's European football's number one man. But there's so many issues within UEFA and FIFA as well. Like, obviously with the whole Sepp Blatter, Michel Platini thing, and there was talk of all the corruption within the game. He's got to try and weed all of that out. That should surely be his first priority. I would also like to think that he will look at how the big clubs in Europe are trying to basically run the show all of the time, to the detriment of smaller nations like Northern Ireland and like the Republic of Ireland as well, although Dundalk have shown them up by qualifying for the Europa League group stages. But yeah, UEFA have got a lot to do to win back trust, Frank. and as have FIFA. And I think this guy's first task should be to go around all the associations and tell them, listen, if your house isn't in order, get it in order, because football to me is still the fans' game, and sometimes the way the fans are treated is absolutely abysmal by football authorities. So I just hope that this guy has got his head about him, he's got some knowledge of the game, which I'm sure he will have, but also that he's got common sense and a bit of humility, because whenever I deal with football organisations, that's the one thing that they seem to lack. It's humility, and it's about time that football authorities showed that, because ultimately they should remember that it's the fans and players that make the game. It's not these guys who dress up in the designer suits and talk rubbish at meetings for the course of a day.
You just say it as you see it, Stephen. Finally, one brief answer from you. Borussia Mönchengladbach, Manchester City postponed match from last night on tonight. Give me a scoreline at the Etihad.
City will win 3-1, Frank. no doubt about it. Predicting scorelines is always tough, but City will win that match. Guardiola is so up for the Champions League, you would not believe. I know he downplays everything, but believe me, behind the scenes, he has been working his team hard over the last couple of days. And the fact that he's got another day to prepare them, it won't bother him one iota. Borussia Mönchengladbach, their fans, hopefully some of them will be able to stay on after last night's postponement, because we all want to hear that famous Borussia Mönchengladbach chant. Yes. When one guy starts, give me a B.
The most popular man in the stadium. Very good. Stephen, thank you. Stephen Bacon from the Belfast Telegraph. It's 24 minutes past 10.